Hi, I'm Sarah Keyworth.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moment so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello, everybody.
We're back.
We're back again.
I'm not going to say that every time. We're here.
Well, we're probably going to be like back for like a while.
Listen, let's not dwell on the present.
No, I'm saying like, you know, whatever next episode will be, whenever that will be, we'll also be like,
Then we'll have to be like, we're back. Listen, blanket, we're back.
Blanket, we're back for everybody.
Unless we're not back, then...
Blanket, we're back. And Lucas is here.
Yeah.
Lucas,
call me Backstreet.
Ooh.
I'm back.
I'd love to call you Backstreet.
And he's a boy.
Yeah, all right.
We've got a boy in here.
We've really got it all.
How are you both?
Great. Fantastic.
Oh, good.
You've got a story. We got excited. Lucas got a story.
Reminded me when we were recording just then. We were talking about passing notes. When you were talking about writing notes on your phone. I was at dinner with my parents yesterday, or lunch dinner, and There was like a late lunch, early dinner. It was at like six.
Lunch dinner.
Like a roast.
Yeah.
Yes. On a Tuesday.
Early tea.
Exactly. But it was quite a fancy restaurant.
Was it?
In Soho, my parents were treating.
Oh, Lucius.
A table for Lucius, please. And they sat me down. I didn't even make a booking. I just said my name and they were like, oh, he must have a booking.
Restaurant.
It's on the house.
The house is on the house.
Yeah. And we were there and it was getting towards the end because I had to go. I took Ogre to a gig. So it was like 15 minutes before I left. And Gary Lineker sat down on the table behind us.
Lineker.
Famous football pundit.
From the advert.
From the TV.
From the advert.
The crisp man from the telly.
Yeah.
And he sat down on the table behind us. But I was the only one that could see. So my parents couldn't see. Yeah. They hadn't clocked it. I'd immediately clocked it. And he was sitting on his own. And I was like, I can't tell them because my mum lacks subtlety. She can't understand. Like,
she'll be like, Gary.
I've seen you on the telly. But she would like, I knew if I told her, she would make the most obvious look. Yeah. It would be very uncomfortable. So I texted my dad under the table. I was like, look who's behind you. And then we just sort of like gave each other the eyes and we were like, it's Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
No, he didn't know. So he, when he saw my text.
He needed to keep it cool.
Oh yeah, he kept it cool. So me and my dad just had this like own little like, this in joke that my mum couldn't be on.
Do you think that any part of him was terrified when he got that text?
My dad.
Like if I was in a restaurant and somebody texts me saying, look who's behind you, I'd be like, oh my fucking God, who is behind me?
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's a dead.
Did I have a knife?
Yeah.
He looked quite startled. He was like, and I was like,
whoa, yeah, that's good.
That's real good subtle work there.
Yeah. And then Gary ordered a plate of crisps.
No,
he didn't.
Oh,
that would have been my favourite thing I've ever heard.
Can you imagine? Every restaurant he goes to.
This is how famous
Do you have Walkers?
Gary Lineker is like a good amount of famous if I know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we all know. Well, if you listen to the podcast, you know that I don't know who anybody is.
You don't know who anyone
but
is.
But you knew Gary Lineker.
Gary, absolutely.
Have I ever told you my Bill Nye story?
Bill Nye, the science guy.
No, Bill Nye, the actor.
Of Love Actually fame.
Oh my God, I know who that is.
Of Love Actually and The Boat That Rocked and all of those.
Mm. The Boat That Rocked gets such a bad rep. I think that's a great movie.
Wasn't he
that's
in About Time movie. As well?
Yeah.
He's in all
dad.
Of those. Yeah,
he's in all of the Curtises.
So it was when I was with my ex-girlfriend, whose name you know, but I shall not use.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Wagamama in Soho.
Great.
When we arrived, we said table for two. Then my girlfriend went off to the toilet. And then I was shown to our table. And in Wagamama, they've got like two-person tables, but occasionally they're like separated by little half walls. Have you seen those? So there was like a little wall with two people tables either side of this wall.
Mm-hmm.
So they sat me down.
It's funny, isn't that? It's like a cubicle.
Yeah, it was weird, but you could see over the wall.
Yeah.
So there's like, so it's like a four-person table with a wall in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So they sit me down, and the guy opposite me is Bill Nye. In, like, the wall is between
right
us.
Through the wall.
But he's diagonal to me on this four-person table.
Yeah.
And so I sit down, I look up, we make eye contact, because we're basically sat at the same table.
Yes.
And he goes, hello. So I was like, hi. And then we just started chatting because we're essentially having food together.
Oh my God. We're
like, oh, and he's nice.
Yeah, and he's lovely. So he was like, how are you? And I was like, yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you? And I was like, are you on your own? He was like, yeah. And then my girlfriend came back from the toilet and she walks over and I'm sat there like looking at her walking over like, and she comes over and I go, hello. And she goes, hello. So I sits down at this table and I go, well, this is Bill. And then we sat, but he was like finishing his meal. So we had like maybe like a sort of 15 minute overlap where like we just sort of sat, we ordered our food, he finished his food and paid.
This is the greatest.
It was so wild.
I love hearing this and I love hearing that people are nice.
It was, yeah.
It's my favorite type of celebrity story, which I know is like, it's not like juicy ones or like whatever. It's like my favorite one is when someone's like, I've met them and they're really nice. I'm like, oh, tell me everything.
He was so lovely.
What did he order?
He was eating...
He was eating
the gyoza, the dumpling thing.
That's good.
Is that what they're called?
That's good.
Yeah, he was eating them.
That was his starter.
That's what he was eating.
Well, it's because it's Wagamama, so it doesn't all come at the same time.
Yeah, so he just had them.
There's a Wagamama's at Gatwick Airport. That's where I always eat it.
Oh, I love a Wagamama.
I love a Wagamama. Mm. I think it's such a good option.
He said that he often eats alone in Soho.
Bill, if you're listening, I'll eat with you.
Gary but Lineker off needs it. Alone, so maybe they can meet up.
That would be lovely if we set them up on a little friend date.
That would be so nice. Yeah. I figured they would hit it off.
Make it two packets of crisps today.
I figured they would hit it off.
Yeah, I think they would.
I think so.
My first ever Bill Nighy experience was Love Actually.
Oh, yeah, he's good in that.
He's really good
he's
in that.
He's probably that. The best bit of that, isn't
he's
he?
He's really good, and he's really good in the Boat That Rock. I'm going to stand up for this movie. I think it's a great movie. I remember my friend and I, we watched it, and it's basically a bunch of sketches, and I get that. Like, I get that as a movie, as like a story told, it's maybe not the best thing.
I don't think it's aged well, has it?
Why? Because they're constantly fucking women and it's just men.
Yeah.
That's the kind of movie I like to see.
I'm pretty confident there's like a really problematic scene where like a woman is having sex with a man. Somebody told me this recently. There's a woman having sex with a man in the dark. And then he gets and leaves the room, and another guy goes in and starts having sex with her.
No, they don't have sex.
Oh, do they not?
No, the joke is the joke is bad. It's like that they set this up and think it's a good idea, but like as soon as the other guy comes in, that she turns the light on. And she's like, what the fuck? And then
still bad, but it's not as bad as what I thought it was.
No.
But Bill Nighy is innocent. And he's a sweet man.
He wasn't in that scene.
No.
Nor did he have anything to do with it.
He'd flat out refused to be, I'm sure.
He'd flat out refused to be in that.
He'd say, I'm not doing that.
Would you like some dumplings?
Get me a gyoza.
It'd be so awful, though, if you're an actor and, like, you read something, like, especially if you're, like, on a TV show, and so you just get new scripts every week, and then there's a scene and you're like, I cannot play that.
Oh, my God, I got sent an offer for something, and I'll tell you about it afterwards. But
you couldn't play it.
The premise is so bad. Anyway, I'll tell you in a minute.
Do you have any other... Did you meet a celebrity? Have ever bumped into a celebrity at a restaurant or anywhere?
Listen, my problem is that, like, I have great celebrity stories, but they're Dutch celebrities. And, like, who gives a fuck? And I keep having this thing where, like... I mean, it's really exciting, but I got more Dutch followers, and I was very excited about it because, like, obviously, like, I would love to, like, gig them more and stuff and just have more of an opportunity to go home. And this guy followed me who... was in like the Dutch version of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Called
The Llamas. And they were at the height of fame when I was in uni. And that was like the thing that everybody watched. Like it was like huge. Like it was probably the biggest TV program at the time.
Yeah.
And one of them followed me. And I was like, I got this notification. And I freaked out to myself and then wanted to go, Patrick! And then I was like, he doesn't know who this guy is.
That's so exciting, though.
It was really exciting. And there's happened three times where, like, famous Dutch people followed me. And I get so excited every time. And then want to, like, yell out. And then I just have to message, like, my best friend Shadi back home and just go, like, this person followed me. She sent me back. She was like, wow, you're really, like, racking up, like, all the, like, big naughty celebrities. And I was like, this is my niche.
Yeah.
But I don't have any. I probably do. I probably have met celebrities, but I just wouldn't know.
I remember that from years ago. I got asked to do something called gay. No, it wasn't Gaydio. There's like a lesbian radio station. I can't remember what it's called.
It should be called Gaydio.
There is a Gaydio.
Is it?
Yeah, it's based in Manchester. This Gaydio. And then there's another. Oh my God, what is it called? Anyway, it doesn't matter. And I was going to be on with a woman who was in the L Word. And my friend Ella.
Original.
Ooh. My friend Ella is absolutely obsessed with the L Word, and I like messaged them about it and was like, this is happening and it's huge. And like, it's not like in the scheme of things, celebrity wise, not major celebrity, but it was just very exciting.
No, for some people that would be major celebrity.
And it was recording in London Bridge, which was near where Ella lived at the time. So they just came with me and sat in the corner of the room whilst we did it.
If Taylor Swift was on that, that's you.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Be there.
It doesn't matter what level of celebrity is, if they're a big deal to you.
Yeah.
That's all. Do you have any good celebrity side? Well, you had Gary Lineker, I guess.
I was thinking about another one about one of Noel's friends was telling me about a time she saw Keira Knightley in a cafe, and similar setup to Wagamama's where it's like all on one table. And she was like trying to be subtle. She was trying to take a picture of her.
Oh, Keira Knightley. Don't take a picture.
I know, but Keira Knightley clocked it. And so you can see the picture. I've seen the picture. It's just her looking at her camera. And then she got up and left.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Keira Knightley.
Poor Keira. I saw her in Holborn once as well.
Really?
She was wearing a scarf.
I mean, that's the cool thing about London, I guess. You see,
she's just like us.
She's just like us.
But you do see loads. Like yesterday, I walked past Daenerys from Game of Thrones.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, Emily Clark, I think her name. Yeah. But that's just, people just live in London, I guess.
Yeah.
So you do just sometimes see people. I find it very exciting every time.
I keep seeing Stanley Johnson.
Who's that?
Who?
Boris Johnson's dad.
Okay, well that...
It's really disappointing.
You have to get out of West London.
I do. I really do.
You have to come back south.
He clearly lives somewhere near where I live.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
And he's always on the tube.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really? He's a man of the people.
He is a man of the people. I've always said that about the Johnsons.
He isn't. Yeah. I'm getting really excited now. This will be the episode. When this comes out, I'll be on holiday.
You will be on your holidays. You'll be on the rock.
I'll be on the rock. I'll be jumping off Big Rock. No, I'm really excited. I'm getting like I bought new shorts. It's like I'm getting like jittery, and then I'm like I need to buy something.
Yeah.
I need to buy something to get me excited.
Have you got goggles?
I already have goggles.
Good.
Also, they all have like goggles there.
They're goggled up. Where are you going?
Yeah. And I'm just like I feel like I can smell the sea.
Oh, yeah.
There's sea there, guys.
Oh, God, so good.
Are you excited for me?
No.
I'm going to take to the sea, like that guy, Moby Dick.
The whale.
You are really obsessed with Moby Dick.
I am obsessed with it.
I've never noticed this about you before, but...
Have you not? I am actually really obsessed with it, because I think, I've tried reading it 70 times. And I
so
cannot.
You've never read it, but you're obsessed with it.
I cannot get through it. I've made it really far, but I cannot get through it. And I cannot get over the fact that people say this is so good.
Yeah.
I cannot get over the fact that that they're like, it is a classic you should read because it's basically a shipping manual. Anyway, I've probably said this before. But anyway.
Your struggle is similar to that of the whales then. Of Moby's.
Listen, if you're looking for a metaphor, Moby Dick literally slams you in the face with it. So probably me talking about it is also obviously a metaphor. I talked to Heidi Regan about this, and she loves metaphor. Like anything with a metaphor, she just like, so she was like, I loved Moby Dick. And I was like, yeah, but you're an idiot. It's not a good book.
That's not a good metric. I watched Pirates of the Caribbean the other day. Speaking of Keira Knightley.
How was that?
And shipping. Tell you what. Great film.
The first
one.
Really good. It is a good film.
Really good.
The first one, it's great.
It does the annoying thing that a lot of films of that era do, where they have a attractive female lead and occasionally they'll be like, in this scene, you're going to be wet and your nipples will be out. And it's like, this is a Disney film.
It's important to free the nipple. And that's actually what they're doing.
Especially when the children are looking.
And that's actually what they're doing in those movies. Mm. It's actually a very feminist era. Yeah.
The male pirate stripped down. Why shouldn't she?
It's not the male gaze. It's feminism. Imagine making that argument.
In Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Where there is one female character.
Where there's one female character where she talks about how uncomfortable her costume was because she has an A cup, but they like had to give her a bosom.
What?
So Keira Knightley talks about the fact that like they literally like pushed it up to like an insane amount.
So that's not even boob. It's just like
that's her entire boob.
Yeah.
It's just the top bit.
Which is ironic given the fact that she passes out due to a corset in the film.
Yes, and then they give her makeup to make more of cleavage.
Really?
Yes, that was like, they needed, it was like, well, you need to be bosomy.
We can't not have you bosomy.
An A cup was seen as a real failure for a long time.
I mean, there's a scene where she's like going to bed.
Yeah.
And she's got the biggest cleavage. Like,
yeah, she doesn't have that. That's not real.
It's so wild. It's like, she's off to bed. Yeah. She's in her bed talking about which man she's going to marry.
Yeah.
And like, it's like she's got pillows in front and back.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you. Should we have a guest?
should we have a guest? What are we doing?
Shall we have a guest?
Let's have a guest. We have such...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
A good guest.
Brilliant guest. Jack Barry is our guest.
Jacques Barry.
He is a comedian. He is an actor. He is a...
That's
man.
It.
He's a man.
Comedian, actor, man.
I'm going to do it again. We've got Jack Barry. Comedian, actor, fantastic performer. So funny.
He's so good. Also, voice of many, many commercials. Like, you'll probably, when you hear him talking, you'll probably be like, I've heard that voice before, and you have on every ad.
And he was the face of some crisps at one point. McCoy's.
Oh, really?
McCoy's. Wow. And he was also the voice of Ribena.
Was he? I've always said they needed a voice.
Mm. But honestly, but it's because he has a great voice. Like, you'll hear it in a second. Voice. He does have, it's very unique, and it's very, very, very good.
And he's got wild stories.
Yes.
Let's get him in.
Let's get him in.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode.
Jack Barry!
Jack Barry is here.
Yay.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
How
Thanks
are
for
you?
Sitting here.
I'm sweaty.
Yeah.
I'm hot.
That's how we like you.
Yeah. We're in like some kind of weird cubicle and it's boiling. It's the hottest day ever.
It is one of the hottest days we've had this year, I think.
I was slightly late as well, so I was hurrying and like the sweat was still cascading off me.
Never hurry for us.
I've got like a little dabbing. I've got a dabbing tissue. I'm dabbing at myself. So, I guess flustered.
Whatever you say, people just have to remind themselves constantly that, like, whatever Jack's saying, like, he's very hot.
It's hot. I love
it's hot.
That, no.
He's actually hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As you process everything I say, he's like, well, he is hot.
He's so, delirious with the heat.
Not very funny, but very hot boy.
He sounds hot.
Yeah.
And regardless of being hot, how have you been otherwise?
Very good. I've been very nice. I've just got back from a trip to LA. Clang, name drop.
Lovely.
Which was very pleasant. Yeah.
Clang for LA?
Yeah.
Do you have friends
heard of it? I have a friend, May Martin, who you guys probably know as well.
We know May Martin. From the telly.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to go and stay in their spare room. And
how was that?
Very pleasant. Yeah. LA's lovely. Hotter than here, but I'm still not used to the heat. I haven't been used to this.
Were you dabbing over there
Yeah,
as well?
They've got air conditioning out there. Every building you go in is heavily air conditioned. Oh, you're not sitting in some old NHS basement.
Britain is not made for heat.
No, room is not made for the heat. They wouldn't stand for this in California.
What's more British is the complete refusal to adapt to the fact that we have
climate change.
Such hot summers every summer now.
It's like, oh, we'll outlast it.
Yeah.
That seems to be the attitude.
It's nearly October.
It'll cool down before we have to deal with it, surely. But we'll enter another ice age before we have to fork out an air conditioner.
But it's really funny because it's like, it's not as if like winter is the same. Like, we all have heating.
Yeah.
Just cooling that people are like, absolutely
no,
not.
No, yeah, it's like you can't pay for heating and cooling.
Oh, right.
That's a rip-off.
We're playing a real game of chicken with climate change at the moment.
Yeah. I think we might win.
It's going to blink first.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds lovely.
It was a lovely trip. And I'm not too jet-lagged, but my bum is jet-lagged.
Did you get to do a gig?
I did a couple gigs.
Did you do their gig?
I did their gig, great. Which I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about because I don't have a visa. I wasn't getting paid, so I think it's fine.
I don't think the authorities listen to this.
Some of them I do.
The cops. We've got a lot of cops on here.
Yeah.
Did you say your bum is jet lagged?
My bum's jet lagged, yeah, but my brain is not jet lagged.
I would like you to expand and explain.
Well, like. I'm sleeping fine. You're like, when I got back, I'd sleep fine. But I have quite a regular gut. I'm quite lucky.
Do you think you're pooping on LA time?
I'm definitely. Usually I get up in the morning, I do a poo before breakfast, and then that's my poo done for the day.
I relate to this.
Since I've been back, really? I've not been pooing until like 6 p.m. And that's when I get up in LA.
Oh my God. Did it happen the other way around? Like, were you pooping on London time for a bit?
Not that I noticed. I must have been, I guess. But I think maybe my bum adapted better when it's... They say jet lag's worse when you go east than when you go west.
That's true, they do say that.
Yeah, I think maybe my bum takes longer to catch up when I come back home.
Clearly.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How many days have you been home?
Like 4, 5.
Okay, that's fine. That's
bum lag really got you.
Yeah, it's really got me.
Has it gone down? Are you pooping at 4 now?
Am I like getting closer? Actually, yes. Yeah, yesterday it was like 3 p.m. I'm probably going to need one in the middle of this podcast.
It's going to meet you in the middle. Yeah. Oh well, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, it's good. It's quite interesting. I don't know what you take for that. Everyone's like, take some melatonin, it'll sort out your jet lag, like sleep lag.
Yeah, sure.
No one's said anything about bum lag.
No one's talking about bum lag.
No,
okay, if anybody
know.
Knows what to do about bum lag, please get in touch.
There's a gap in the market. Maybe we can market some kind of like bum lag pills.
Ooh. Is it laxatives? Is that what we call just laxatives?
Yeah.
It's just laxatives, but not that strong.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better to poo in the morning then? Do you prefer it?
I quite like it. You're not really... You're always at home. Mm. You're at home. You wake up, you do it. You don't know where you're going to be later on in the day.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a comedian. You're quite often at some comedy club with like a horrible toilet that you don't want to be
chancing. I think it's great. I think if you achieve nothing else that day, you've got that one thing done.
And a lot of the time, that is all I managed to achieve.
I'm a middle of the day.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Lunchtime. On the dot, like regular...
It just like no, not on the dot regular, but around that time.
Around lunchtime.
I don't like flying. Early in the morning, because then I probably won't be anywhere during like that time.
Yeah. You don't want to be like in a line for passport control when you need a poo.
No.
That's the last one. But on a plane, not so terrible.
Have you pooped on a plane before?
I don't mind pooping on a plane.
I don't think I could do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you think it's gonna suck. You're going to get caught with
suction. I just think people are waiting.
You've got anxiety.
I think
people are like, when I'm worried that people are waiting, it just won't happen.
Yeah, for a long time I did think that it just went straight out the back of the plane.
It does, it has that pressured like... Mm.
It feels like they're just chucking it out the back as we go.
Yeah, it's like when you see like in a film, like when they open the door and then everything gets sucked out.
Yeah.
It feels like that same energy is coming from the flush.
And
so it did kind of seem like it was just flying.
I thought the reason you weren't allowed to go when you hadn't taken off yet is because it would just go straight out the top.
Stretching fingers.
Yeah.
I think it's more like a camper van. You know, like once they got all the baggage of the plane and stuff, there's just one guy with like a bucket.
And he just comes around and like sets fire to it, like in the SAS.
They've got a separate like travelator thing for the poop.
Diverts off.
One guy. damn, my poop went on the wrong plane.
Oh, this is good.
It was on trains. Remember when you used to get a train and... Not in this country, but I feel like when you went on holiday to France when you were a kid and sometimes you'd flush the toilet and you could just see the track going past underneath.
Yes, I've seen that.
That was a thing, wasn't it?
I've seen that. The power of that. I think the Dutch ones were like
that. They would do that.
They were like that as
well. They would be like, don't go in the station because it's just going to fall on the track by the station.
It was nationalised rail. We don't have these fancy blocks that you guys have here, you know. It's just... Because
privatisation...
The privatisation.
...is such a better quality of service.
Yeah, better quality of poop dispensation.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in the Netherlands, it's just taxpayer money, so straight onto the tracks.
Straight on the tracks.
That's all we're doing here. We're just enriching shareholders and pooping in a box instead of on the road.
They're harvesting our poop. For data.
Yeah, exactly. All those good British poos going abroad, enriching other people.
Is that good? What this podcast is?
Yeah.
I've forgotten. I think it's mostly poo stuff.
Well, I think that's a brilliant way to start.
Okay, good.
This is a podcast about life-changing moments, Jack. Do you dwell on things that have changed your life?
Are you a dweller?
Sometimes. I don't regret... I try not to regret things regret, like, decisions that I've made and wish I'd done differently. But sometimes you do think back to things and you're like, oh, God, yeah, that was a bit... What did I do
that? Went wrong there. Yeah. Well, that's healthy. Have you ever had a big near-miss experience?
I've had several near-miss experiences, I think, but, like...
I knew you would.
Yeah, you really do give off the energy of someone who's had.
Do I?
Yeah.
I think I say yes to a lot of things. I do end up in some quite weird situations. But this one actually, like, the one I'm thinking about, it wasn't actually my fault at all, and I think that's why it dwells on me so much. It's like, I think, like, although I get into some weird things, I usually have, like, a good sense of self-preservation. Mm-hmm. But basically, it was, like, when I was a student... I went to Leeds, which is famously like quite a druggy university. Clang, another clang.
Shut up, another is it really? Name drop.
Yeah. Like
my boyfriend went to Leeds.
Did he?
And he's like the least druggy person that you would ever in your life, and this is really surprising.
Really? I mean, there are some people that I know that went to Leeds and like never touched any drugs whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
But then like me and my friends, it was really like, oh, we'll try literally everything we can get our hands
it's
on.
It's a big party uni Leeds.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like I was very much like a try everything once kind of phase of my life when I was studying there.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then there was like one night where we were out with, I was out with some of my friends and at a party, and then my mate just came up to me and he was like, oh, this drug dealer's just giving me some free drugs. And I was like,
no.
That doesn't happen. And he was like, yeah, he just gave me this packet of coke and he didn't ask for any money back in return. And I was like, what? So he's got nothing on you? Like, he's got no reason, way of contacting you or anything like that? And he's like, oh, no, I gave him my phone number.
Oh, God.
And I was like,
He wants to get rid of these for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like...
With no paper trail.
Yeah. But also, like, famously, drug dealers like to follow up on, like, debts. And so it was like a couple of days went by and he was very pleased with himself and he was like, God, I can't believe I got away with that for free. What a fun night. Like, didn't we have a nice time? And a few days later, this guy like obviously calls him up and is like, you owe me 80 quid or whatever.
And, oh, wait, he also did the drugs.
Oh, yeah.
He did the free drugs.
Oh, yeah, he did them, for sure. Yeah.
So this is like a drug dealing loan shark situation.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you owe me now. And we were all sort of like, fine, you got to pay the man, obviously, like, pay your debt.
Yeah.
But then this guy was, like, insisting on coming over to our place. We all lived together.
No.
And we were like, go, don't tell him where you live. Just go meet him in a cafe or something like that. Pay him his money.
Break up with him gently.
Of our lives. Yeah. And it was just like this. And he was like, no, he's really insisting that he has to come. Like, he doesn't like doing it in the street. He doesn't want to come. He wants to come over. So
book a hotel room.
Anything else? Yeah, Airbnb wasn't around in those days, but that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this guy just ended up coming over to our house, and it was the most uncomfortable evening of my entire life. Like,
evening?
Like, he stayed for 4 hours. Like, we could not get rid of this. And when I say this man, his mate, and his dog, his extremely It would have been quite... It's quite a scary pit bull, but it was, like, a puppy. Yeah. So it was, like... It was just mental, this dog, and it ate everything in our living room.
Oh, great, yeah.
And it was, like... I lived in a group of five lads, so it was, like, okay, we've got to make sure everybody's in tonight because this drug dealer's coming over, and, like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, we're all a bit on edge.
Best behaviour, boys.
Yeah.
Best behaviour.
Yeah, exactly.
He might be bringing friends.
Yeah, he did bring a friend. And
a puppy,
yeah.
Which is fun, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But the puppy was like, ironically, the friend who had got us in this situation, who we were all so pissed off with, the dog decided that it wanted to eat his jumper that he was wearing. And so, like, for the 4 hours that we were all trying to just hold it together, this dog was basically like eating his jumper for like the entire
instant
time.
Instant karma.
Yeah, and he was like sort of trying to talk like while the dog's like hanging off his sleeve and he's like swinging it around like Tarzan.
What did you even talk about?
I mean, like, genuinely, it was like a monologue of this drug dealer. Like, he was called G-Dog.
Yeah.
And I'll never...
Christened.
Forget. Yeah, yeah, christened. No, yeah, christened, interestingly... I guess I can say it on the podcast. He said his name was Angel Lebois. Was his christened name.
Oh,
which
my
for
God.
Some reason he decided to call himself.
That's like a James
G-Dog.
Bond villain.
Yeah.
Angel
Lebois. Angel Lebois.
That's amazing.
And it was just, he just basically monologued at us for like 4 hours.
About?
About when he went to prison.
Sure.
It was like a very eye-opening experience. He was talking about how he'd gone to prison, and when he'd gone to prison, like before he went to prison, he used to live in this house where he put spikes in the corridor leading up to his flat, just in case the police ever came to raid him, and then they'd all get impaled on the spikes as they like raided his house.
Yeah, okay.
And then he'd gone to prison for attacking a man with a hammer who he described as a bully.
The spikes.
Yeah. He was like, this guy was a bully, so I attacked him with a hammer and I ended up in prison for a
few
years.
That's how you deal with bullies, kids.
Yeah, right? And he told us that he got bullied in prison because he likes to deep throw ice lollies. It was genuinely, he was like, when I eat an ice lolly, I like to sort of put it all the way down my throat because I like the cold feeling, like, in my esophagus. And when you're in prison, if you're doing something like that, people are going to say stuff.
Then don't do it. Just don't
How many ice lollies do you get in prison?
But I guess you got to just take the joy where it comes in prison. And it's like maybe deep throating the ice lolly is the nicest thing that you're going
to
do that week.
I like that he went to prison because he got rid of a bully.
Mm. Yeah.
And then he got bullied.
That's a delicious irony,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, someone did tell me that, like, we're all bullies and bullied.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's how the British prison system works, though, isn't it? They try and, like, punish you for what you've done in a way that's fitting.
In a way that's...
Like Satan.
Karmic justice. I just love the idea of everyone sat around in prison and they get handed out the ice lollies and they're all kind of like licking them. Like, because nobody looks good when they're licking an ice lolly.
There's not a macho way to lick an ice lolly.
But then it's just one guy.
So everybody's head turns towards this guy who's got it all the way down his
throat. Going to town on the ice lolly.
And also he pulls it all the way out and goes, what?
Because that's the thing, it's like, he can't explain that he likes the cold feeling on his esophagus while he's doing it.
Yeah.
So
no.
He has to.
But then he even explained how you deal with it, which was one of the most uncomfortable parts of the whole evening. He sort of said, if someone's making fun of you like that in prison, what you do, all you have to do to deal with it is you do this. And then he just sort of stared threateningly at a space on our wall for, no exaggeration, 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And then he turned his head and looked at another bit of our wall for another 2 minutes in complete silence. And we're all just there watching him. And at any point, we're like, this guy's going to kill us any second.
Course.
Like, none of us want to say anything.
Yeah.
So we're just like, he's just...
You're like, we should have bought some ice lollies.
Yeah, exactly. We're just like, just say you give him a death stare.
Yeah.
You don't have to act out the death stare on our wall.
For minutes at a time.
That
is so long.
And it's just the whole time we were just like, is this guy gonna kill us? He was also like really desperately trying to like get us to try this other drug that he had with him. He was like, I've got this other drug, like you can just try it for free.
Oh no.
And like one of my friends was sort of on his laptop on the other side of the room and sort of was very imperceptibly sort of shaking his head at us because he'd Googled what this drug was and it's like 10 times more addictive than heroin or something. And it was like, instantly addictive, will destroy your life if you try it just once.
I like the idea that, like, you still needed someone to be like, no. You must not do this.
And in this situation,
this guy is sitting in your house after having done that.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I wasn't really thinking about doing it, but it was like, that was an added layer of like, let's not do this.
I also just love that in this situation, you've got somebody in the corner with a laptop like Richard Osmond on point. I don't think that would be a drug that anybody would want to do.
Yeah, can you check the facts on that, actually? Are we going to be wanting to do that? What's the nutritional value on that drug that he's offering us?
But this was what he was getting out of it, I guess, was like, if he got you guys hooked on this drug, then he would have you.
He was there for more customers, I guess. Yeah, which we
by the short and curlies.
Exactly, which is what but
it's like he's basically trying to get you to do heroin.
And exactly. And of course that's the model, isn't it?
Yeah,
first one's free.
It's clever.
It is clever. But
I think he's clever.
He's a clever guy.
Angel Dubois.
A talented guy
J-Dog,
as well.
Shout out.
He's a singer as well. Yeah. He was like, oh, if you're called Angel Dubois, then you have to you have to be a singer as well, don't you?
Oh, of course.
So he sang us one of his songs. Yeah.
He sang a song.
Maybe he was a PI. Maybe he was undercover. And if we'd, like, taken the offer of the other drugs, then that was, like, the sting operation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He sang you one of his songs?
He sang us one of his songs, which I mean, this was, like, 15 years ago, but I still remember the song.
Do you?
Yeah, I'll never forget it.
Oh my god. Please sing.
It just went like, and like the way he's doing it, because while he's sitting at our table, he's doing coke like the whole time.
Right.
Like, none of us are doing any drugs, but he's just like, so he's getting more and more high and more erratic.
It's like right out of a movie.
Yes.
Insane.
So there's no point. So at so many points we were like panicking, and then he starts singing this song, and he sings the whole thing with his eyes closed, and it just goes, problems. Problems. Everybody's got problems. Motherfucking problems. Problems. I got problems. Everybody's got problems.
It's an instant hit.
And it's that. It's that for about 5 minutes. None of us are wanting to say
and
stop.
And all of you are having problems.
We're all like not ever really wanting to take our eyes off him, but also death staring my friend that's got us in this situation the whole time.
What, while he's like holding this dog that's trying to eat
his while the dog, yeah. And the dog's so like going around and eating everything in our flat.
Problems.
Everybody got problems. That's amazing.
So good.
So then what happened?
And it was like, well, the thing is like, the reason I think about it is being like, oh God, that could have gone. Because it was like, not only for most of the 4 hours, I was worried that he was going to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
After about 3 hours.
After the song.
After the song, I started thinking, I have to kill him. I was like, he's not going to leave.
It's him or me.
It's him or me.
Yeah.
Like, he's never going to go. So how do we kill him?
He lives here now.
Yeah, we lived in this disgusting house in Leeds, which had, like, this sort of death basement, which was, like, covered in graffiti. And we only ever went down there, like, for, like, house parties. And it had, like, a bath that was, like, full of broken glass. And I was fully like, we get a knife. We take him down there, we kill him, we put him in the bath, we get some acid or something like in Breaking Bad.
Sure, yeah.
Like, this is what was going through my head, because I was just like, I was desperate. I was like, I don't know how I can get out. Like, I'm thinking about being a killer. I've never thought about killing anybody before, but this guy.
To the soundtrack of problems.
problems.
I'm going to be deep-throating a lolly in prison in no time. So it was like, so it could have gone wrong in the way that I could have ended up in prison as a murderer, or I could have ended up getting murdered.
Oh my god.
And he had this friend with him as well, who was called Jan, and he started telling us a story. He was actually quite nice, Jan.
Everyone's names are so good, isn't it?
Jan was telling us about how his granddad had escaped from Auschwitz, and that was quite interesting.
He was a German Jan.
He must have been German, I guess, or Polish or something. But he was like the only guy. That was the only point that G-Dog sort of stopped talking, was so that Jan could tell the story about Auschwitz.
Very respectful, actually.
And then it was like back onto the monologue.
Do you think that's who he wrote Problems about?
People in the Holocaust got problems.
Jan's grandfather got problems.
And then how did you get rid of him?
Eventually he did.
If this ends with you killing him.
I think it genuinely got to like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were just like, we have to go. Like, we just like,
you have to go to bed.
It was just like, you're trying to be so polite to a guy who you think could flip out any minute, especially when he's telling you stories about how he's like you know, tried to kill policemen and he's beating up a guy with a hammer and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. Mm.
But then eventually it was like, I don't care. Like, if he bludgeons me, I'd rather just this ends.
Yeah.
So I'm going to forcefully tell him, you have to leave now. And, like, thankfully he did just go. But it was like, yeah.
You must have been so relieved.
Yeah. I've never felt relief like that.
No.
I was just like, I can't believe I'm through this situation.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And it was just...
And he never came back.
He never came back, and it was like, delete his number right now. Like, yeah, he's not a guy whose services we're going to be using in the future.
Never call him again.
No.
No.
But I think about him a lot.
Yeah, where is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Angel Dubois.
I don't know if that, yeah.
Look him up.
I think that was his name. It was Angel something French.
Yeah.
But maybe I've misremembered that.
No, I think Angel Dubois is a great, great name. It's a great name.
I feel like any time something goes wrong in my life, I'm going to have problems.
Problems.
It's good. And it makes sense.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That was a great story.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Because obviously you can't call the police and be like, listen, we took some drugs off this guy.
Yeah. And now he's being all a pain in the arse.
Yeah.
It's very much like
you've got yourself... And he won't leave our house.
Yeah, you've really got yourself in that situation, haven't you?
It's horrible when people don't want to leave your house. I mean, it's horrible even just people you like.
Oh, totally.
It's like...
For family members.
Yeah, you're just like, please go away.
Yeah.
But this is...
I'm desperate for you to leave.
I'm desperate for you to leave.
I'm not worried you're going to murder me if I ask you to.
No, the stakes here are... very different than
when
your auntie's around. Although, maybe not.
My auntie's beating up a lot of bullies with hammers, actually, so you'd be surprised.
Years ago, I found a note on my phone that I'd obviously written whilst we had some people over. And the note said, I'd obviously written it on the note and then showed it to my girlfriend, and then she'd replied on the note. It said, can I go to bed? And then it said, no.
I've done that. I've done that note. I've done that note.
What, asking if you can go to bed or saying
no? You know, just probably both.
Yeah.
Probably, but I've probably been on both sides of that.
Yeah.
Like, no, you have to bear.
It's an absolute nightmare.
I've been in those situations where you're like, well, no one can stop me from going to my mind palace. Yeah. And there's still guests there, but I'm just like, I've checked out and my eyes have glazed over.
I have said it before. I have told people to leave.
You've got to go. Have you ever been over at someone's house and then realised you've outstayed your welcome?
Yes.
I was once at someone's house and I thought we were having a nice time. And then his girlfriend came in wearing her pyjamas. She went, like, left the room.
Yeah.
Came back wearing her pyjamas.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I was like, oh, I think we must be.
But I always just think, like, you could have said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's better to say.
It's better to say, like, I'm pretty tired. Like, I've said it before where, like, I had one of those. My friend of mine had a boyfriend who just would not stop talking. You know these people?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they just.
Yeah, yeah.
So finally, they were like by the door, and then he started a new story by the door.
No.
And so I said, you are not allowed to start a new story.
This isn't the area for new stories.
This is the goodbye
I'm
place.
Cutting you up.
And then he was just kind of like, oh, and I was like, no.
My dad's a bit like that with, like, the phone. He can't get off the phone when he's... And we'll have a whole conversation. And then just as we're like, okay, well, I'll speak to you later, bye. And then he'll ask it like another question.
Yeah. You don't have to do that.
Say something, oh, and how was that thing the other day? And I'm like, I just said bye. Like, now.
I'm seconds away from hanging up.
Yeah, I was hovering on the button.
Oh, my God. It's the worst.
Yeah,
I feel like I quite often, like, I've overstayed my welcome, actually, at people's houses. I just like being at other people's houses.
It is nice,
yeah.
It's great fun, especially when they're giving you their food and drink.
Yeah, exactly.
When they're like, shall I open another bottle of wine? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like,
don't spill it on your pyjamas.
We can have it with breakfast.
I just feel like it's like a little thing from, like, childhood, you know, when, like, the thing would be like, and then it was like, do you just want it to be a sleepover? Like, that was like like an option when you're a kid to just make it a sleepover.
And I'm always pushing for the sleepover.
Yeah, it's great fun.
Let's go and hide, you know. Oh, your mum's here to pick you up. Let's go and hide.
I would
always suggest that. And then, like, yeah. And sometimes, like, I remember one time, like it was like real strong negotiations. It was like my friend was over and it was like, we'll hide. And then the mums got really angry because we were hiding. Yeah, and then course. It was like, can you stay over? And then it was like, okay, fine, you can stay over. And then we were really young. He got like scared, like after a couple of hours, and he got homesick and he wanted to go home. And I was livid.
I was that kid.
Yeah, I was like,
homesick.
Yeah. After all we've been through to make this sleepover happen, and you're leaving me.
Yeah.
I'm gutted.
That is not on.
I betrayed my mum for you.
Yeah.
I was the kid that wanted to go. The first ever sleepover I remember going to, I got homesick. And I didn't know anyone else. It was like this girl was she was my best friend in primary school, and then she moved away, and then she invited me to a birthday party.
Oh, that's the worst. Don't go to that.
And
one.
I didn't know anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, got halfway through and was like, I'm done. I want to go home.
Yeah.
And I was trying to call home, and I didn't know about area codes, so I didn't know that I had to put like the code ahead of numbers. So I knew my home number, but it wasn't working. And so I was calling again and again, and it wasn't working. And I had to spend the whole night with those people.
No! Bless you. Just couldn't do it?
Just couldn't get hold.
Bless you.
Did you tell them that that's what you were doing, or were you, like, sneaking away to make the call?
I presume I was. They knew. I think I was using the home phone. I was pretty young.
Yeah.
I don't think I had a mobile phone or anything.
No, like that. But you weren't, like... You were like, oh, I'll just go to the toilet. And then you're like...
No.
Like, I wouldn't even know what the area codes are for here. Because, like, obviously, like, I moved here after... Cell phones were people use.
Home phones aren't really a thing.
No. I know, like, my area code from 36.
36?
Is it? You do
no.
Simple.
That was the... 01483 was the Guildford one when I was
1483. It's a very small country.
Yeah, 0115 would be my parents. Mm. But they still use their home phones.
So. 036, yeah, that was it.
Do they? What is that? A Nottingham number? 115.
Yeah.
0113 is the Leeds code, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now
this is
now
this is
we're just naming numbers. Yeah. We're just naming numbers. No, let's go to.
That was great.
That was great.
Okay.
A lovely near miss.
Good. Yes. Okay.
Really nice. Good.
It had tension. It had drama. It had music.
And sex.
Should we ask about? Do you have a sliding doors moment for us?
I have a sliding doors moment, yeah. I think so.
Tell us.
It's a romantic one. Do you like romance ones?
We love romance. We haven't had a romantic one romance. In a while.
We've had nothing but misery.
Misery. Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, it's my story of how I ended up with my partner, I think, is a real sliding doors moment. Because it was a real, like, decision that I had to make.
Yes.
And it was, like, a bit of a mad thing to do at the time. But I'd say, ultimately, it all really worked out. So, like, my partner is from Argentina, a very faraway country. I actually met her... Actually, this is a good connector to the other story. The friend who ended up bringing that drug dealer over to our house used to go out with my partner.
No. What?
Yeah.
The ultimate revenge.
Yeah. You've got to play the long game. Sometimes you've got to wait 10 years.
One day I will steal your wife.
That's mad.
That's crazy.
So he's an English teacher and used to teach at sort of an English as a second language school in London. And she came over and was one of his students.
So he did the hard work?
Yeah.
Got her speaking English?
To study English?
She came over, to London to study English, like, 10 to 11 years ago now.
And then you swooped in when she was fluent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll let him teach. Yeah. But we were always making fun of him. We were like, you're a very bad teacher. Like, he sometimes was a bit flirty with some of his other students. And then, like... After she stopped being a student, they started seeing each other. And we hung out, but
there was some hanky panky.
I'm sure there was, but I do make clear to mention that it's an adult education. It's not like she was a school kid who came over, and
those stories are always like that's fine. The status there is not really that much of a problem. It's like when people like go out with their improv teacher. It's like, oh, you're all losers.
You actually have more authority than him.
That's right. Take that improv,
because you could still get out.
Yeah, they're in the cult. Forever. But again, teaching English is a bit of a cult as well, I suppose. Mm. But and then they split up, And they weren't together very long. It was only like a few months. Mm. And
you'd met her at this stage.
I'd met her and we'd hung out a couple times. And I even at the time was like, God, she's really great. Like, I don't think he really appreciates her. Like, I could tell he wasn't that keen. Mm. And then they split up. She even, like, came years ago for New Year with her brother and him. And they all stayed in my house, like, when they were all together. And it was like, that was sort of the time. Like, she was my mate's girlfriend at the time, so I didn't like fancy her, but like he went out on a bit of a bender. She was quite ill and couldn't go out, so stayed most of New Year's Eve just at my flat.
Mm. And Jackie Boy had soup.
Jackie Boy had soup.
I remember coming back and we sort of hung out and I was like, gosh, she's really great. Why has he gone out all night and like sort of left her here?
By the way, that is insane.
Yeah,
bad boyfriending.
I love him dearly, but I don't think he's especially at the time.
No, it's not the soundest of judgments.
Neither of these stories have covered him in glory.
This is why I haven't said his name. But and then they moved. He actually went with her to Argentina, and he lived in Argentina with her for a bit. And then they had quite an acrimonious breakup. And he came back, and I sort of hung out with him and spoke to him about the breakup. And he sort of said a lot of things of like, oh, I don't think I was ever really in love with her, and it was I didn't. And so I knew it was. It wasn't, this is just me laying the groundwork of being like, I'm not a terrible bloke. But it was like,
oh, I think you're fine.
he wasn't devastated.
He wasn't devastated at all. Left her he was on just New like, Year's. No, we weren't right. And anyway, another friend of mine was living out in Argentina a few months later. So I went to go and visit him. And he was like, oh, I'm still in contact with Martina. And I was like, oh, God, I'm weirdly excited to see her and hang out with her again.
That's nice.
And so I was in BA for like 2 weeks and we were hanging out. And we sort of had a bit of a snog one night. Mm. And my other friends were really, like, angry with us. Oh, like, no. Really were like, that's your mate's ex. You don't get with your mate's ex. Like, who do you think you are? I know. It was a little bit like...
She's not
a lamppost that a dog has pissed on.
Yeah, and also, like, you'd already assessed that, like, it was fine.
Exactly.
Because he didn't love her.
I mean, it was like...
I think if someone loved... Like, if it was like if it's a big egg.
Exactly. If he was, like, devastated and they'd been together for years, then, of course, I would have thought differently. And I would have been like, well, look, there's billions of people in the world. Maybe I can find someone else.
Yeah.
But I was like, she's really special. And we got together, like, another time at the end of this holiday. I mean, my friend who'd initially been, like, really, really anti it, I sort of... couldn't stop thinking about her, and sort of on the last night she was like, I can't stop thinking about you either, and that kiss that we had. And then my mate did a complete about turn. I sort of went to her, I was like, mate, she says she feels exactly the same way about me, and he was like, you can have sex in my bed.
That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate thumbs up.
I've been staying in this like weird dorm. He was living in this house that was like a part house and part hostel. We were staying in this dorm. So he was like, take my bed.
That's the nicest thing he could have done.
Wonderful friendship.
It was nice. But then we were all flying back to London the next day. And they were sort of ribbing me about it. Like, oh, God, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to tell our mate when we get back? And I called, as soon as I got off the plane, I called my friend. I was like, this is what happened. And he was like, well, it's a bit weird, but thanks for telling me. And I'm not too heartbroken. I'm glad you told me. But then he was like, what are you going to do? She's on the other side of the world. And I was like, I don't really know. And this is like the real sliding doors moment, I think, because then it was like October at this point. And basically it was like getting closer to Christmas. And I was like, we were messaging sort of a bit. And I was like, God, I really just want to see if there's anything in this. So I just decided to, like, book a flight back to Argentina for, like, New Year's. Sort of just...
Spend another New Year's together.
Yeah, genuinely. Aww. And it was, like, a year later. It was, like, one year later, I'm going back there to spend New Year's with her, having had the one before, and she was with my mate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was a hectic year.
Yeah, a lot happened.
But there was like all these moments where I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm flying across the world to go and hang out with someone who I don't know very well.
Being in love is
nuts. It really is. Yeah. And I was like, I think this is love. This must be love. Like, why else am I doing this?
That's real nice.
And I was just like, and I sort of think about that a lot. Like, there were so many points where I could have just been like,
I'm not going to book a flight.
If you'd been busy.
Yeah.
If you'd had something on.
Yeah.
That meant that you couldn't go.
If I'd got a job. Yeah, exactly. If I was a slightly better comedian.
Yeah.
Someone put me in a TV show or something. Yeah. 8 out of 10 cats was filming around there. There's no way we would have ended up together.
No.
Weirdly, like if you'd been invited to something and you were like, oh, and like, I kind of said I'd go to this.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. If someone was getting married or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucky you got no friends.
Yeah.
Lucky you're a shit comedian with no friends.
I love that way that you describe it, like the feeling that you have where you're like, oh, where you like can't stop thinking. Like the beginning feeling where like you can't stop thinking, you're like, oh, I actually can't. Like when you have that realization, you're like, oh, I'm weirdly excited to see them. I love that.
Yeah, like looking back at it now, I was like, oh, right, yeah, that's what love was. But at the time, I was like, why am I so excited to see her again?
It's so nice.
I really didn't know how to process anything of what was going on. Like, after we'd kissed, there was just one day where I just sort of didn't really know what to do with myself. And my mates were just like at the house that we were staying at. I just went for a walk around BA for like 2 hours, just like fantasizing about us. Me and her, but like not like having a life together, but like doing like mad shit. Like, I've never said this to anyone before. I don't know why I'm saying it now. I had this like fantasy of us being like, she's very political. She's like, she protests a lot. And I had this like fantasy of us being like revolutionaries together.
Oh,
no.
I love it.
And I was like living in a bunker and like, you know, having to like be like, what do you call it? Like not an insurgency, you know, like resistance against some kind of like awful. And I was like, why am I thinking about this for 2 hours? This is so weird.
Oh, I love this so much.
I've done that.
Yeah.
100%.
What can I do to impress her?
Yeah.
We'll go on the run.
Yeah, exactly. That'll show her that I'm the kind of. It's funny. I do think now, like, I used to be a lot more political when I was younger, and I think I sort of replaced a lot of that with doing comedy. I was like, I'm going to focus a lot more on comedy and less on activism than I did when I was a student. I had to pick one, basically.
Yeah.
And she went the other way, and she just always stayed really
true to
that.
You can only shout into the mic for one reason.
Yeah. Exactly. Then I was like, so that's a kind of sliding doors moment. But then I was always a bit like, oh, I feel like I gravitated towards her because she's sort of like the side of my personality that I didn't pursue.
She's the other timeline.
And
now you're still together.
And now we're still together.
How long has it been?
Nearly 9 years.
Fuck.
Yeah, no, 9 years in October.
And you're married.
Yeah. And for her, actually, it was then the other way, because I went there, flew out for this 2 weeks over New Year's.
Mm.
But then I came back and she was still living in Argentina and I was still living here. And she was sort of like, I've always thought about maybe trying to study in London one day.
Mm.
Now I've kind of got a catalyst to come. Mm. So then after 4 months, basically, it was 4 months later after we'd had this 2 weeks together and we'd sort of really properly fallen in love, that then she just packed her bags and flew here just to like try and start a new life.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so great.
And that was another point where I was like, is this a good decision? Like, what are we doing this? Like,
are we mad?
Like, going to the airport to pick her up, and I'm like, she's going to live with me now. And I've only spent 2 weeks with her.
So many worlds in which it could have been awful.
Yeah. And it was at first. Like, but there were tensions in it. It wasn't smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Like,
no. It couldn't be.
No.
It couldn't be. You're two complete people.
Yeah.
That have only, like,
and moving your whole life across the world is going to have some difficulties.
Exactly.
And,
she had no life here yet. Yeah. You know, she couldn't even work here at the time. She couldn't, like, she has Italian citizenship now, so she could live here legally. But before she got that, it was like, she's here, she can't work, she can't study, she doesn't know anyone, she doesn't have any friends.
You are her one.
It's just me,
and
I've known her for 2 weeks, basically. So that was like,
the romantic comedy has already ended before that.
Romantic comedy is you picking her up from the airport.
Yeah, it's you picking her up from the airport.
And like, we don't need to know about the messiness that comes after that.
We will be editing that bit out.
They might do it like 20 years later when you're still happy, but they're not going to do the messy, like,
we don't need to see how the sausage gets made. The sausage of successful marriage.
Yeah. 9-year sausage.
I've been your friend. The one that, I've been your friend, the one that's like has someone say to them, I've started going out with your ex.
Really?
Yeah.
And was it a big ex for you?
No, it wasn't a big ex.
It wasn't, okay.
No, it wasn't a big ex.
So you weren't too worried about it either?
No, it was. I think I was exactly the same. I think I was, that's why I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because I think I was exactly the same where I was like, well, first of all, I broke up with him.
Yeah.
And I wanted to. Mm. And I would never want to be with him
again.
There's
no part of you felt like, yeah, you were missing out on being with him.
So, so when someone's like, you're like, yeah, oh yeah, I guess that's a bit weird. But then, like, just, it takes like 3 seconds and you're like, well, I have no stake in this game.
Yeah.
I had a mad one once where, so I dated a girl for like a year. When I moved to London, it was like the first relationship I had in London. And it was when I was starting to do comedy, so she'd come to like open mics and stuff with me. We broke up.
Poor girl.
I know. A couple of months later, I did a gig with a comedian that I met pretty early on. We got the train back into London together because it was like Greater London, this gig. So we were getting like the Thames Link into Central together. And he went, oh, this is a bit awkward. And I was like, why? And he was like, oh, because I'm dating your ex-girlfriend now.
What?
And I was like...
And you didn't know?
I didn't know, but why would I know? We hadn't talked.
No.
But it was so out of left field because I was like, she... I don't know whether she was bi, whether she identified as, like, gay or, like... I was pretty confident she was gay.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, I think she told me that, and then she was dating this guy, which is fine, like, obviously. But, like, it was just
it's
so...
It's like a double whammy. Yeah.
But it was just so random.
Like, are you talking to me?
Yeah. Like, in terms of, like, the shock of it was just more like... How? Yeah. How did that happen? Like you met twice, maybe, and I mean, I don't think it lasted with them. But like, the whole thing was just so I was like staring
that's
at
so
him, like,
weird.
I can't process what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So funny.
And I will tell you his name when we're not recording.
Okay, great. I can't wait to hear.
Please.
Well, thank you. That was lovely. I love a love story. That was a really good one.
Yeah. And it's all worked out, thankfully.
That's really nice. Yeah.
Global love stories are the best.
Yeah, I'd say so. Mm. I'm still friends with the friend as well.
He's still our best pal.
It was quite nice. When we got married, we just had like a small wedding. We didn't have any guests or anything, but we did it sort of.
Angel wasn't there?
Angel wasn't there. Angel did the music. We had Martin doing the music as we walked.
Problems.
Yeah.
He's doing a string version.
And my friend sort of sent us this very sweet message being like, who knew that my lack of professionalism would lead to something so beautiful?
That's really true.
Yeah, that's
totally true. Yeah. Keep fucking those students.
Believe in you.
Fight the good fight.
And there's a footballer, an Argentinian footballer, who quite famously ran off with one of his teammates' wives. And he's called Mauro Icardi. And so all of Martina's friends back in Argentina all call me Icardi.
That's so funny.
But we have a WhatsApp thread, me, her and him, called Wanda Maxi and Icardi.
Oh, that's really
all of the name in the photo is the three of them all together.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Really good stuff. Oh, well, thank you, Jack. Thanks very much for doing this.
My pleasure.
Do you have anything to plug?
No. Do I? No.
You don't
follow
have
me,
to.
Follow me on social media.
I am
Jack Barry. And,
that can be
I don't
it.
Think
that can
I have
be
anything. It. I'm that making a short it. Film, which is coming out soon. So watch this space. Cool. I have a website, jackbarry.co.uk, where
amazing.
I put, like, short films and stuff. So have a little peruse on there.
Yeah.
And there'll be more stuff coming out soon.
Lovely stuff. Yeah. That's
lovely
so great.
Stuff.
Thanks,
well,
Jack.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jack Barry.
Jacques Barry.
Jacques Barry. That was Jack Barry, everybody.
Sarah's lost her mind.
He delivered the goods, didn't he?
What?
Sorry.
He delivered the goods like G-Dog.
He did.
He delivered the goods like G-Dog.
Just like Angel Dubois.
It's a great name.
He came around and he didn't leave. He's still here.
That would be funny. Yeah. That would be funny if Jack was still here. Yeah. Just overstaying his welcome.
Very good stuff.
That was so great.
Very
honestly,
funny.
That was so great.
Really good.
Yeah.
He's done a cringe for us that you can find on Patreon.
Oh, a good one.
A really
good one. A good one that evoked in my like gut the feeling that's like, done that.
Yeah. Really unpleasant.
Yeah.
So go check that out.
Go check that out. Sign up to our Patreon. Support us in every way.
Support us. Financially, emotionally.
Yeah, send messages. People always like, again, I mean, I know I've mentioned this before, but I had a girl come up to me at a gig on Saturday saying that she listened to our podcast and again whispered it.
Oh, please stop whispering about it.
And you're not who you are, and you were lovely. You were so lovely. I was so happy that she listened to our podcast. I gave her a hug.
Oh, that's so nice. I do feel very attached to everyone who says that they listen.
I do as well. But it's not shameful, is it?
I need to stop acting so surprised when people say they listen. Where I'm like, wow. Oh, that's you, is it? You're that one number.
I mean, the fact that I like hugged her, being like, thank you so much, is like, do you have one listener?
Me too.
it was really nice. And
so, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, and come to my
album record
on the 15th of October at the Bill Murray pub. Please come.
I remembered that information.
Please come, guys. Yeah. Link will be in my socials. And anyone else? Anything to plug?
Nothing to plug.
You'll still be in when this comes out. You'll still be post up.
Just my lack of actually listen to my radio show. It's been coming out these last few weeks, so that's been released. All four episodes will be on BBC Sound. So you
listen
can hear
to Sarah's radio show. Their show is on. No, you can. Just iPlayer now.
It's on BBC Sounds, and it's called "Are You a Boy or a Girl?" There's two series of it now. So the day that we're recording this day, the last episode is coming out tonight.
So exciting. So exciting. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Lucas?
Socials. I'm making more sketches.
Yeah. I love Lucas's sketches.
Yes. Yeah?
Love Lucas's, but you're not allowed to know what he looks like.
No. I blur my face in all of them.
Don't look.
The unblurred ones are on our Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you guys so much. We'll be back, everybody. Hopefully. We'll keep you guys posted on our socials, but after this episode, there will be a break.
Stay tuned.
For news of my boobs.
But
we are going to try and do some Patreon stuff before we come back with public episodes.
Yeah, some Zoom episodes. We're going to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time this one comes out, I think I will be a week post-op.
You'll be a week post-op.
And perhaps I will have the strength to move to my computer.
Aww. Okay,
I'm
well,
be fine.
That will.
Tune in. If you want to hear about my tits,
you'll probably hear a lot about your tits.
Got some tidbits for you.
Nice.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Love you all so much.
Love you all so much.
I'll be thinking of you the whole time.
And you'll hear us next time.
Whenever that will be. Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.